Okay, hey, Bill wanted me to share a little bit about judging prophecy, and thought I'd talk about that. It's first of all, I think a couple themes that came out tonight that I want to just reiterate, and I think number one is the need for humility. I think that comes out that, you know, God wants to use us, and we need to be humble, and God will lift up the humble, and He pushes away the proud. Amen. So humility is very important. And I also heard the word desire a lot. You know, we just need a desire. And the Bible tells us this several times in 1 Corinthians, to desire spiritual gifts. And that word in the Greek language means like a boiling heat. It's like, really, I am really into this being used by the Lord. And again, it's for His glory. It's not for our own. I believe the spiritual gifts are important. I am really blessed for the number of people that came out to hear this and to be encouraged by this, because, I mean, to me, this is one of the ways that God has chosen to speak to the church. And I love the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14:24, where it says, if there's an unbeliever that comes in, mm-hmm. Sometimes you have in a world today what people call the seeker-sensitive church, where you don't want to be used in anything spiritual because maybe an unbeliever would be offended. But I see it different. I see an unbeliever right. coming in, right. and it says if he sees somebody prophesying, he's going to fall down on his face and say, God is really here. And that's what I'm hoping, that unbelievers will come in. And not that we're being wild and woolly, but we're being really used by the Lord. And people would stand, and in our humility and in our willingness to go and be, you know, be used by Him, that it touches the heart of somebody deeply, skeptical or an unbeliever, and they see how God is moving. And that's what I love about it. So how do we judge spiritual gifts? I want to just demystify it a little bit, because, I mean, nobody's here to embarrass anybody. You know, a lot of times if there are corrections, if they're not things that need to be spoken publicly, we don't really speak about them, but we'll talk to people individually. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others weigh carefully what is being said. So we see a scriptural mandate. We have to weigh out what's being said, and this word just means to discriminate and to separate thoroughly. So we listen, and we are weighing it. Is it good? Okay, also in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, this is verse 19 through 21, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Nothing. Or even just daydreaming. I mean, again, it's one of the ways God has chosen to speak to the church. But He says, but test them all. That's the word. Test them. Why do we test? If we're saying prophecy is from the Lord, why do we have to test it? Because it's a human vessel that's bringing it forth. There's nothing wrong with the Lord, but like Rayo describes it, sometimes like it's a conduit with a lot of gunk in it. And sometimes what's coming from the Lord to you is very pure, it's pristine, but then it's flowing through this conduit and it's got stuff in there. And sometimes we get in the way. And so we value it as from the Lord, but at the same time we judge it. And it says, test them all, but then hold to what's good. I mean, to me, when we test and judge a prophecy, it should bring an element of safety within the body. And it also, to me, should increase the ability for people to take a risk. Because there's people, because our guidance is not to destroy or deflate anybody. It is to say, hey, here's the way, walk in it as a better thing. Right. Or you need to pay attention more. You need to get more into the Word. Or maybe you need to spend more time in prayer or what have you. Right. But it's always for the benefit. So here's the things I look for. 1 Corinthians 14:26 through 40. I'm going to share these scriptures. First of all, is it edifying? I know sometimes that people get up and sometimes we think like the prophecy, we think like I am the fiery prophet from the Old Testament. We get up and we want to rebuke everybody. That is not the New Testament gift of prophecy. Right. It's edification. exhortation and comfort. Now, am I saying there are never times the Lord won't reprove the church? I'm not saying that. But it's not really the role of you to get up and rebuke the church. If the church needs to be rebuked, it needs to come from the leadership. And so what I would say in those cases, if you feel you have a rebuking word from the Lord, you submit it to the leadership. And let them decide. But otherwise, you're going to get everybody that's got a craw under their saddle getting up on Sunday morning and rebuking this and rebuking that. And it's no longer edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's destructive. So, you know, none of us are Jeremiah. None of us are Ezekiel. You know, we are saints of God coming to be used by the Lord to edify his body. So let's just keep that in mind. That's how he describes prophecy. So that's my first question. Was that edifying? You know, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. There's another judgment you put on things, which is basically logistics. And like it says, for example, if anybody speaks in a tongue, let it be two or at the most three. I remember the first time in my life, our pastor in Colorado Springs left the church for a trip, and he asked me to lead the church on that particular Sunday. I was just a young kid, like 20, 21 or 22 years old, and I got up, and we were having the time for spiritual gifts. And it so happened on that day, there was a visiting preacher in the church from town. So there was a tongue and interpretation, a tongue and interpretation, a tongue and interpretation. And wouldn't you know it, the preacher stands up and gives a tongue. I'm like, what are you going to do? What can you do? I said, brother, I'm sorry, but the Bible says two or the most three, and we can't receive that one. You know, why? How can you do that? Because we have a biblical authority. And it, you know, I didn't. It wasn't in pride or anything. It was just saying, hey, you know, we have to appeal to the Scripture here. And so, whenever we are here and looking at this, we are looking at the logistics of that. And there's also, if a man speaks in tongues, it must be interpreted if it's in the congregation. So what happens? What would we do if, for example, somebody got up and spoke in tongues and there was no interpretation?
Hopefully you'd interpret it.
Well, I mean, it's one of two things. Either the person who spoke in tongues was out of line, or somebody had it and they were afraid to step out. You know?
Yeah.
So, if that happens, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it will be. I think about that every Sunday.
No. I mean, the thing is, let's just be open. And if the Lord is speaking to you, you know, like that long, long moment there waiting for somebody and here it happened to be you. But sometime it may happen, and it's okay, it's not the end. But we would have to say, you know, one of them missed it, and we're not going to lose our salvation over it. The third thing I want to say to you is that the gifts of the Spirit are controlled by the user. Right. The Bible says, if there is no interpreter, this is in 1 Corinthians 14:28, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So that tells me that we have to bring our own self-judgment to these things at times. You know, I know somebody mentioned earlier, is what I'm going to say in line with how God is speaking already? Or like all of a sudden in the service, everything is about God's love. We sang songs about God's love, and somebody exhorted about God's love and prophesied about God's love, and there were tongues and interpretation about how much God loves you, and all of a sudden you go, I got a word from the Lord that we need to repent of our sin. You know, be sensitive to those things. I'm not saying, you know, that would never, ever happen, but sometimes there's a theme that God's trying to say, and maybe you need to wait. Maybe that's next week. Or it could be, you know.
We've had that happen.
Because it's almost like you get jerked all over, like one, love God, you know, sin, you know, we're all over the place. What's God trying to say? And you try to make sense of it all. So bring some self-judgment to these things. It should be orderly. The Bible says two or three prophets should speak. You know, and again, it's not like one jumps up. Wait, we do it in order. I mean, part of us in being able to provide a certain amount of order in the church was having, you know, Bill come up and Brian come up for the spiritual gifts, because that otherwise you wouldn't know when should I speak. And, you know, we're here in the middle of a worship song and all of a sudden someone starts prophesying or someone starts speaking out in tongues. This way it just gives a little bit of order. Plus, I think having people come to the front adds another layer of self-testing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if you feel like the Lord's wanting you to speak, it's another step to walk up front. Mm-hmm. Now you're kind of committed. That's like jumping out of an airplane. When you open the door, you can still turn around. You can say, I'm done. But once you step out on that little thing, and the guy gets his legs out there, you're pretty well committed. At this point, it's just a little bit of a roll when you're gone. But walking up front there is kind of like that. You open the window and you're out on the thing. And it's time. So that's one way that we help to provide the order. The second thing it says here, I don't know, four or five or six, I'm not sure what part I'm in here, but here's what it says. Let the prophet speak two or three, the other should weigh what's said. If a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn. You know, in other words, it's a gift that everybody can be used in. So that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So prophecy should also be instructive. And it should be encouraging, as I also mentioned. And then it goes on to say, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. Again, we would never, ever believe it that, oh, the Lord just took control of me. I couldn't help myself. I had to speak in tongues. Now, you have control. God gives you this ability to speak, or he prompts you to speak and be using a spiritual gift, but you have to be willing. Women can prophesy. In Romans, or in verse 34, it says, women should remain silent in the churches. Sometimes you read that. Well, what does that mean? If women should remain silent, does that mean they can't prophesy? Well, no, because it says you may all prophesy. And earlier in the chapter 11, it says any woman can pray or prophesy if her head is covered, that kind of thing. So women can pray and women can prophesy. It says in Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. That's another thing we use to judge by. So we judge by, is it edifying? Is it scriptural? Is it in order, you know, logistically? Is it instructive? And is it according to your faith? So in other words, a person who comes up for the very first time, they may sputter a little bit. I'm okay with that. That's somebody who's stepping out, they're learning. And just like a lot of us sit here today, you know, the first time you do something, you become more experienced the next time, the next time. I would expect that as a person is being used over time, they become more proficient. And it's, you're pursuing God, you're spending more time in the Word, more time in prayer. To me, your prophecy should grow. But if someone comes up and they're faltering a little bit and they're nervous and they maybe take missteps, we're not saying, oh, that was not of the Lord. I mean, we're going to take under consideration, they're prophesying according to the proportion of their faith, and their faith will grow. Give them room to grow. So we're not looking to stamp anything out. We're looking to fan the flame and help people and be encouragement. And I guess the last thing I guess I would say to you is, in John 16, 12 through 15, it talks about the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I believe that any communication from the Holy Spirit will always be in line with his word. You know, so, you know, we're listening. Is that line up with scripture, you know, and things like that? And if it doesn't, obviously, you know, we got to speak about it. So our heart is to encourage people. We have a ton of grace, and we know it's according to the proportion of your faith. We want to see you grow. I'm encouraged by the number of people that are coming here to hear this and who want to be used. I just encourage you to continue to pursue it, continue to walk in humility. Let me say one last thing on just a couple things that were said tonight. One is, nothing was said about personal prophecy, but I would like to speak about it for a minute. Sometimes if you have a personal word for a person, you know, you're not prophesying in the congregation, you need to be careful with those things. I mean, they happen. I mean, I've had personal prophecies. I know many of you have as well. But sometimes you need to make sure that those things are heard by somebody. Somebody should be able to judge it. But ultimately, I think that for the most part, and I'm not saying it's a rule, but I think it's the general rule that personal prophecies are more of a confirming nature than they are brand new. Like if you came to me today, Robin, and said,
"Kirk, the Lord told me you're supposed to go to Africa and become a missionary." Well, I wouldn't be getting my passport ready. See, I would say, okay, I've not received that, you know. I don't have that from the Lord. I'll take it under advisement, and I'm going to go pray about it. And maybe the Lord will speak to me and say, yeah, but maybe he won't. I'm just saying that a lot of times these things need to be confirmatory, not direction-giving. And I have some examples of that in the Scripture, which I don't have time to talk about tonight. But I think that's a safe place to be, you know. So don't go around thinking that you're going to be directing everybody by the Holy Spirit. When you speak a word into someone's life, especially if they're sensitive to, they want to be sensitive to the Lord, if they don't have the understanding that I need to judge this, they may run off on a path that you've directed them on, and it wasn't really the Lord. Right. You know, and I had a guy one time in our church came to me and said, "Hey, this girl came to me and said the Lord told her she's supposed to marry me. What should I do?" I said, "Well, do you want to marry her?" He goes, "No." I said, "Well, I wouldn't do it." I wouldn't do it. You know, you got to have, you know what I'm saying? So you got to have that. You got to help people understand this. We are human vessels, and sometimes we miss it. So remember that. I guess I like what you said, Jenny, because the other thing that can get kind of weird is dreams. You know, if I ate bad food tonight and I have dreams, that may not have been the Lord. But I know people, I'm not saying you're this way, I'm going to say what you said in a moment, which I really liked. They want to interpret everything. Every time I have a dream, oh, what's the Lord trying to say? Maybe it was just I had a bad food tonight. You know, so be careful about that. And what you said to somebody was, "Hey, I had a dream about you. Does this bear witness to you?" And that's good. Yeah. I like that. Amen. That's that confirming thing. That you're not directing something in their life. You're submitting this to them. Say, "Hey, I had this dream. I'm not sure if it's for you or not. This I want to share with you. And does that bear witness to your heart?" And that lets the person off the hook to feel like they have to yield to this thing if it wasn't from the Lord. And I hope all of us are humble enough to realize that, yeah, we want to stretch out, we want to take the risk and say, "I believe the Lord shared this with me," but we also want to be humble enough to realize there are times we can miss it. And we want to make sure that that's communicated with a person so that they can be off the hook and not end up packing their bags to go to Africa. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you guide us and lead us, that we have your word, we have the counsel of godly brothers and sisters, and your Spirit also speaks to us. Lord, I'm so thankful the way that you guide and direct us. I pray you'd help us to walk in this, to learn to hear your voice, to learn to have obedience, and continue to stir up the gifts of the Spirit within our body that we might receive the benefit of the edification that you want to give us, Lord God, as one of the ways you speak to us as a body. I thank you again for this evening and for all those who are willing to come and share. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.